Ministering Brethren in Australia. St. Helena, California, August 1, 1906. To my ministering brethren in Australia. I have many things to write to our churches, and I will present to you some of the matters that have been on my mind. We are deeply interested in the work going forward in all parts of the world. In Australia, we have had an active part in the work in the past, and we feel a deep interest in what is being done there. We see the need of earnest, devoted men to take up the work that must be carried forward in the future. There are some things that cause me much joy. In the school at Corinbong, the workers are seeing the results of their seeking wisdom from God. The Lord Jesus, in His prayer, expresses the great necessity for unity of spirit among His followers. Many have not been convicted of the truth, because they have seen, among those who profess to believe it, a spirit of jealousy, of backbiting, and of criticism for their brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 35. The Lord requires every man to be at his post of duty, doing the very work the Lord has appointed to be done. Let every movement be preceded by humble, earnest prayer. The truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. Those who are guardians of the truth are to act as men who are wide awake. We are not to regard any human being as one to be believed and trusted, unless it is evident that he is established in the truth of the Word of God. Some who have been leaders in the work of God are seeking to make of none effect the work that God has placed in the world to educate His people, and to prepare them to stand the test of the miracle-working powers that would make void the precious facts of faith that have for the last 60 years been given under the power of the Holy Spirit. We must warn our youth not to venture to Battle Creek to receive a training for medical missionary work or for the gospel ministry. Those who are there giving instruction in the Scriptures have turned from the truth in sustaining one who has rejected the warnings God has given, and they are no longer safe teachers. We cannot advise any of our youth to go to Battle Creek to obtain an education, for seducing spirits and satanic agencies are actively at work to deceive those who have turned away from the warnings of God's Spirit. The history of the first great rebellion has been frequently presented to me in figures. The same Spirit that brought about the great deception in heaven is at work in our world today. Our watchmen must be wide awake to give the trumpet a certain sound. Study carefully the first chapter in Patriarchs and Prophets. From this chapter, I quote, "The Sovereign of the universe was not alone in His work of beneficence. He had an associate, a co-worker who could appreciate His purposes and could share His joy in giving happiness to created beings. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." John 1, verse 1, 2. Christ the Word, the only begotten of God, was one with the Eternal Father, one in nature, in character, in purpose, the only being that could enter into all the counsels and purposes of God. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah 5, verse 2. And the Son of God declares concerning Himself, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting. When He appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I with Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." Proverbs 8, verse 22, 23, 29, 30. The Father wrought by His Son in the creation of all heavenly beings. By Him were all things created, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him, and for Him. Colossians 1, verse 16. Angels are God's ministers, radiant with the light ever flowing from His presence, and speeding on rapid wing to execute His will. But the Son, the anointed of God, the express image of His person, the brightness of His glory, upholding all things by the word of His power, holds supremacy over them all. Hebrews 1, verse 3. A glorious high throne from the beginning, was the place of his sanctuary, a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of his kingdom. Jeremiah 17, verse 12, Hebrews 1, verse 8. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalm 96, verse 6. Mercy and truth go before his face. So long as all created beings acknowledged the allegiance of love, there was perfect harmony throughout the universe of God. But there was one who perverted the freedom that God had granted to his creatures. Sin originated with him, who, next to Christ, had been honored of God and was highest in power and glory among the inhabitants of heaven. Lucifer, son of the morning, was first of the covering cherubs, holy and undefiled. Isaiah 14, verse 12. He it was who by transgression became Satan, the adversary of God and holy beings, and the destroyer of those whom heaven had committed to his guidance and guardianship. At first, Satan kept his real purpose hidden. He insinuated into the minds of the angels seeds of doubt and suspicion. At last, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Revelation 12, verse 7, 8. Satan has a church in our world today. In his church are all the disaffected ones in whom he has implanted the seeds of selfishness, deception, and intrigue. Christ pronounces a woe upon all who transgress the law of God. He pronounced a woe upon the lawyers in his day because they exercised their power to afflict those who looked to them for justice and judgment. All the terrible consequences of sin will come to those who, even though they may be nominal church members, regard it as a light matter to set aside the law of Jehovah and to make no distinction between good and evil. In the representations the Lord has given me, I have seen those who follow their own desires, misrepresenting the truth, oppressing their brethren, and placing difficulties before them. Characters are now being developed, and men are taking sides, some on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, some on the side of Satan and his angels. The Lord calls for all who will be true and obedient to his law to come out of and away from all connection with those who have placed themselves on the side of the enemy. Against their names is written, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. Daniel 5, verse 27. Who in our churches that have had so much labor bestowed on them will dare to venture the excuse, I was deceived? Warning after warning has been given, but some have virtually denied the very existence of Christ. They regard him as a non-entity. They have not a correct judgment of the infinite exactions of the law of God. Oh, that now, before it is forever too late, we might see these sinful ones come to an understanding of how God regards their perversion of his law. They would, if possible, deceive the very elect. Christ says to them, repent, repent, before it is everlastingly too late. By repentance and confession be made complete in Christ Jesus. Christ stands as our representative in the judgment. But his precious blood cannot avail for one soul who has refused to be converted and transformed, purified and made complete in Christ, without spot or blemish. God cannot take into his kingdom those who are dead in trespasses and sins, who have lost all sense of the offensive character of sin, or who, by their commingling of truth and error, have confused many minds. With some, it has seemed to be regarded as a virtue to outwit their fellow men, even though they be their co-laborers in the Lord's work. God is displeased with those who, by underhand methods, have taken means that should have been used to open up his work in new fields, and have used them to carry out their own ambitious schemes. They must partake of the consequences of their action. All who deliberately harbor pride, vainglory, avarice, ambition, murmuring, bitterness, evil speaking, lying, or slandering, will, when weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, be found wanting. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, verse 15 to 23. There are many men, apparently moral, but who are not Christians. They are deceived in their estimate of what constitutes true Christians. They possess an alloy of character that destroys the value of the gold, and they cannot be stamped with the impress of the divine approval. They must be rejected as impure, worthless metal. We cannot, of ourselves, perfect a true moral character, but we can accept of Christ's righteousness. We can be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust. Christ has left before us a perfect pattern of what we are to be as sons and daughters of God. We are a denominated people. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Through repentance we may receive forgiveness of sin and be made partakers of his righteousness. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 2, verse 2 to 6.